This is Malone Church Podcast, and I'm the Reverend Catherine Viner. And we're a church who are committed to being rooted and grounded in love, living and growing together. You can connect in with what we're doing on YouTube or Facebook and find any information on our website. But what you're going to listen to now is a Bible reading followed by a sermon and then concluding with a prayer.
This week, the reading is Psalm 42. As a deer pants for water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. Where can I find him to come and stand before him? Day and night I weep for his help, and all the while my enemies taunt me. Where is this God of yours? They scoff. Take courage, my soul. Do you remember those times, but how could you ever forget them, when you led a great procession to the temple on festival days, singing with joy, praising the Lord? Why then be downcast? Why be discouraged and sad? Hope in God. I shall yet praise him again. Yes, I shall again praise him for his help. Yet I am standing here depressed and gloomy, but I will meditate upon your kindness to this lovely land where the River Jordan flows and where Mount Hermon and Mount Mizar stand. All your waves and billows have gone over me, and floods of sorrow pour upon me like a thundering cataract. Yet, day by day, the Lord also pours out his steadfast love upon me, and through the night I sing his songs and pray to God who gives me life. O God, my rock, I cry, why have you forsaken me? Why must I suffer these attacks from my enemies? Their taunts pierce me like a fatal wound. Again and again they scoff. Where is that God of yours? But, O my soul, don't be discouraged. Don't be upset. Expect God to act. For I know that I shall again have plenty of reason to praise him for all that he will do. He is my help. He is my God.
During lockdown, there were many wonderful videos shared of people singing and making music at home. Then all the contributions were pulled together and made to sound as if they were all in the same room. There was a particularly uplifting version of the Aaronic Blessing, recorded by over 300 churches, that was seen by 3.6 million people. Now, whilst we all love to belt out a favourite hymn, I'm sure we'd agree that we appreciate it much more when it's sung in harmony by people who can actually sing in tune. Psalm 42 begins the second book of five books of the Psalms, and it's a song to be sung by the sons of Korah. Now, the sons of Korah were a choice group of singers who could actually sing in tune. Indeed, it was their job to fill the sanctuary with sacred music to the glory of God. And although David is not specifically mentioned as the author of this psalm, it does bear a lot of his style and his experience in each letter. It is the cry of a man far removed from the house and the worship of God. The prayer of a man in exile could have been written at a time when David was hiding from persecution by Saul, or on the run from his son Absalom, and was unable to physically attend worship in the sanctuary. In verse 4, he speaks about going to the house of God, singing with joy, praising the Lord. He recalls leading a great procession and how wonderful it was, especially on festival days. And I imagine those festival days would be a bit like our harvest services, when the church is filled with smells and colour, wonderful produce, and thanksgiving hymns are sung by many people. David emphasizes the importance of connecting both with God and his people as part of public worship. Standing, kneeling, sitting with other worshippers, lifting up a collective prayer, music filling the space, blended voices. And since we're having an honest conversation this morning, don't we all miss that? Like David, we miss public worship in that place that is special to us. We miss the fellowship of being a church family. The smiles, the handshakes, the coffee, even the cold draught that whizzes round the gallery and through the choir stalls. We miss watching the children, pondering over what to pick out of the birthday bucket. We miss the scent of the fresh flowers, and we miss sharing in the precious sacraments of baptism and communion. And yet, like David, it's not that we don't believe that God is always with us. Whether we're at home, in work, out for a walk, in the queue for the supermarket, no matter where we are. In verse 8 he writes, "Yet day by day the Lord also pours out his steadfast love upon me, and through the night I sing his songs and pray to the God who gives me life." David knows, and we are assured, that God is by our side. In our waking, in our sleeping, we are never alone. Christ is that constant companion, the solid rock on whom we can rely, the shepherd who keeps looking for us, even if we wander away from his side. And we don't have to be in his sanctuary to be in his presence. But we know that when we do go, we will also find him there. And that is why David, in this psalm, speaks of his insatiable thirst to go to his place of worship once again. Even when the Israelites were in exile, wandering in the desert, God commanded Moses to build a sanctuary, to erect a tent for the purpose of worshipping God. Detailed instructions were given in Exodus 26 and 27 as to what that tent should look like. And we're told that whenever the people of Israel set up camp, Moses would take the sacred tent and put it up some distance away. It was called the Tent of the Lord's Presence. And anyone who wanted to consult the Lord would go out to that tent. Exodus 33 verse 11 says that in this tent, the Lord would speak with Moses face to face, just as a man speaks with a friend. David's definitely lacking friends in Psalm 42. He's so lonely that he's letting the taunts of his enemies really get to him. Being away from his sacred place has got him down, and in this depressed state, he feels that God is absent. And we can relate to David's struggle with his doubts and fears. We've all had times of doubt, of anxiety, of insecurity. When we felt worried or apprehensive about health, about family life, about school or work, and on top of all that, add the impact of the coronavirus on every aspect of our lives. These fears are compounded by not being able to be with people who would listen, support us and encourage us. And what's making the problem worse for David is being in the company of those who actively want to discourage him. Seeing him going about sad and weeping, they say to him continually, "Where is that God of yours?" They plant doubts and fears in his mind, and they want David to believe that at his moment of great need, God is nowhere to be found. They're not saying God doesn't exist, just that he's abandoned the psalmist. And as we're emerging slowly out of this lockdown? We've heard those voices who have said, "Where is that God of yours? Why does God let this virus happen?" Over the centuries, in times of trouble, people often do gravitate towards a church to seek comfort, refuge, help. On the Sunday following the 9/11 terror attacks in the United States, it was estimated that roughly half the adult population attended a religious service. I can recall at the time reading an article by Reverend Ken Newell, former minister of Fitzroy Church in Belfast, who was on a pulpit exchange in New York State at that time. He described the unusually large numbers of people who turned up at the church he was preaching at on that second Sunday in September 2001. Yet in this pandemic, in this time of global crisis, one of the things we've not been able to do is go to church. To sit together with friends, to get a handshake of welcome, a hug of encouragement, just to open the doors to everyone and anyone who feels they just might need to step inside and feel the comforting presence of Almighty God. And when we go back to that sanctuary in September, it will be different. We'll probably have to sit 2 metres away from our friends. There won't be a handshake or a hug, but there will be a welcome. And the welcome will be warm. And there are plenty of pews available, especially in the gallery, where you could join me and the rest of the Malone folk to get the best socially distant seats in the house. In the early Christian church, believers had to gather to meet in secret and in safe houses for fear of persecution. It was 3 centuries before the Christian church actually had a formal building in which to gather. But in his letters to the early church, Paul encouraged them to get together, to take that risk to meet as church, in order to support each other physically and spiritually. Paul writes in Hebrews 10 verse 25, "Let us not give up on the habit of meeting together as some are doing. Instead, let us encourage each other all the more, since you see that the day of the Lord is coming nearer." Paul knew what it was like to be in exile from other believers, to be unable to gather in one place to worship God. Yet it was during this time in prison, isolated and alone, that he wrote his greatest words of encouragement and comfort to the church. When writing to the church at Philippi, his letter is marked by its emphasis on joy, on confidence, on the unity of the church, and above all, perseverance in face of adversity. He writes in chapter 4, verse 6, "Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus."
Thank you.
In Psalm 42, David was seeking that peace of God. He compares the need to be in God's presence like an insatiable thirst, like a deer panting for water. There's something very gentle about this image of a deer as compared to maybe another animal in the same circumstance. Deer are so timid, so delicate in their structure, and so much the natural objects of love and compassion. We feel deeply for them when they are hunted or pursued. And in using this example, the psalmist creates a beautiful illustration of the depth of an earnest longing of a soul after God. To be in communion with God is not a luxury, but a necessity. Just as the human body needs water to survive, so a Christian needs to thirst for that sustaining and comforting presence of Almighty God. Yet despite his sadness and tears, David knows that he will return to the sanctuary. As he says in verse 5, "Hope in God, I shall yet praise him again. Yes, I shall again praise him for his help." That certainty, that assurance of Almighty God as the source of support and consolation. Although David was wrestling with himself, he knows in his heart that these dark days will not last. He chastises himself. "Why then am I downcast? Why be discouraged and sad?" So whilst he's in this sorry state, and in order to cheer himself a bit, he recalls everything that he knows on the depth and breadth of God's love. From the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Now, Mount Hermon is the highest mountain in modern-day Syria at over 9,000 feet. And by contrast, Mount Mizar means little hill. So from the highest point to the lowest point, David reflects on the good things about his relationship with God. And isn't that a helpful tool for all of us when things aren't quite going as planned? Going over the good memories, recalling times when we were particularly aware of God's presence, when we felt his love and grace embrace us when we needed it most. But even when recalling happier times, David just aches with this feeling that God is absent from his life. In verses 9 and 10 he cries, "O God, my rock," I cry, "why have you forsaken me? Why must I suffer these attacks from my enemies? Their taunts pierce me like a fatal wound. Again and again they scoff. Where is that God of yours? Where is that God of yours?" As Jesus hung on the cross in his darkest hour, with deadly wounds in his body, his adversaries stood at the foot of his cross and called, "Where is that God of yours?" The scribes and Pharisees taunted him. "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from that cross and we'll believe him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now." In Matthew's account of the crucifixion in chapter 27 verse 46 tells us that at about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud shout, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which he tells us means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The agony of separation from his father, abandoned by his closest friends, Jesus was truly in his darkest hour. Remember that tent I spoke of earlier? The one transported by Moses and built in the wilderness to create a sanctuary where the Lord could dwell? Well, in that tent there was a curtain, and that curtain separated the ordinary people from the most holy place. The most holy place where God was present. And at the time of Christ, in the temple in Jerusalem, that curtain which separated the ordinary people from the most holy place was 60 feet high, 30 feet wide, and at least an inch thick. But as Jesus breathed his last on the cross, so that curtain was torn down. That symbol which separated ordinary people from the presence of God was torn in two from top to bottom. By his death, Jesus opened the way for us to reach out into the presence of God, ordinary people like you and me. Hebrews 4 tells us, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." This is the sure and certain expectation that we have. When we open our hearts and come into the presence of God, he is there. He is not absent. And we shall again praise him in his sanctuary. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that through the sacrifice of your Son, we are able to draw closer to you. Day by day, you are with us to guide, bless, strengthen and protect, your faithfulness being ever sure. Though we may fail you, still you stay true. Though we go astray, you seek us out. Though we disobey your commands, always you have mercy. Thank you for the assurance that in life or death, you will continue to watch over us, never flagging or sleeping, however often we forget you. Rouse us in grateful response, in wakeful and joyful service, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord, thank you for the address from Deborah this morning, and for how she spoke and brought Psalm 42 to life in a way that was both relevant and powerful. We pray that her words stay with us and aren't forgotten as soon as we leave the service. Father, we give thanks for the wonder of your creation and for the amazing works you do in this world. Because of our trust in you, we look forward to the promise of a bright tomorrow, as we know you control all things and hold each one of your children in your loving hands. For you, all things are possible. We pray for renewal in our congregation of Malone and for your presence to become increasingly visible through us and around us. We pray for growing confidence to boldly pronounce you as Lord and King, and for your church to become an even brighter beacon in a dark and broken world. There is so much work to be done that it can sometimes seem overwhelming, but help us to trust you and rely on you to provide everything we need. We pray for our minister Catherine and for the Kirk session to have wisdom as they make plans for us to start gathering again for worship and to have the right arrangements in place so everyone can do so safely and with confidence. Lord, we give thanks for the fine weather you sent during the days of lockdown, which brightened up our lives. And we also give thanks for the unseasonal cloud and rain we're having now that restrictions have been eased, as this is reducing the potential for the spread of the virus on crowded beaches and in parks. We pray that we all act sensibly and listen to the advice being given and take personal responsibility for our own well-being. Father, we pray for those in our congregation who are unwell, or are in hospital. And we ask that you would hold them in your loving arms and bring healing. We also pray for their families and loved ones, that they find comfort and peace by putting their trust and hope in you alone. We pray that our minister Catherine finds rest and relaxation during her family holiday, and that she returns refreshed and ready for the new season ahead. We also pray for all those who are holidaying at home this year, and ask that they find joy by seeing the opportunities and beauty of our own country in a different light. Lord, we pray that your kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven. And we ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening. And if you'd like further information, go to our website or connect with us on YouTube or Facebook. But in the meantime, stay safe and stay faithful.